naszych wolności się zaczyna. Co dziś powstało, niech żyje wiecznie i nie zginie. Ty nie stój obok i podaj rękę Ukrainie. Że ne wmerła, ne wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że ne wmerła Ukraina. Przyjaciel, co wielki znalazł się potrzebie, wyruszył w drogę, która poprowadziła ciebie. Idź ramię w ramię, a przyjaźń wasza nie przeminie. Nadeszła pora, by podać rękę Ukrainie. Że ne wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że ne wmerła Ukraina. Kiedy przyjdzie czas na was, że ne wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że ne wmerła, ne wmerła Ukraina, kiedy razem jesteśmy jak rodzina. Jest nadzieja, co wiecznie przypomina, że ne wmerła Ukraina.
And a song called Podaj Ruku Ukraini, Give Ukraine a Helping Hand. And Ukraine sure could use one right about now. That song was recorded during the Maidan crisis uprisings, and it was by a Polish group called Taraka. Podaj Ruku Ukraini, Give Ukraine a Helping Hand. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна Макварі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Павліна, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We've got a delicious recipe for шашлики, Ukrainian kebabs, and a bit of a nod to our Tatar friends. That is, I think, a traditional Tatar dish. As well, we've got several great commentaries. We've got Volodya from Lviv and his take on what's going on in Ukraine right now. Volodya is with the Jewish Heritage Museum, which produces our program, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage. They're on a bit of a break, given all the upheaval in Ukraine. Thought I'd give them a little bit of a rest, although they hopefully will be back soon with Ukrainian Jewish Heritage. As well, we've got two great interviews. We have Mirko Petrio, our own Mirko from right here in Vancouver, the president of the Vancouver branch of the Ukrainian Canadian Congress, who will be filling us in with his always very insightful and usually prophetic overview of political events in Ukraine. And we have an interview with Shmail Tantana. He is a Crimean Tatar. He lives just outside of Simferopol, He'll be telling us about what his daily life is like right now with Russian occupation in Crimea. So stay tuned for all of that. As well, we'll have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is another song from the Maidan. It is by a group called the Wailers, and they are a British group that formed posthumously after the death of the famous reggae singer Bob Marley. And here they are now with Maidan Light, Stand Up.
This one is international solidarity. Ukraine, get up, stand up, fight for your rights.
I get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. I get up, stand up, don't give up the fight. Stand up for your rights. I get up, stand up. I don't give up the fight.
Of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Thanks to the foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for the past 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing artists and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nosh Hólas listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, contact the Shevchenko Foundation at 204-944-9128, toll-free 1-866-524-5314, or visit shevchenkofoundation.com.
Янчик, Янчик, чорні очка, підем разом до поточка, до поточка синього, нам приличка. Янчик, Янчик, малюванчик, що ти зробив нашій Янці, вона мамі повідала, що все тяжко.
YouTube soundtrack for you. It is from a recording made, it was either in Toronto or Regina, just around Christmas time, and it is by a group called Cherry Band. The singer was Anastasia Wojciuk, and they were visiting Canada around Christmas time and making the rounds. Unfortunately, didn't make it out to the West Coast. Maybe next time. We're trying to get a hold of them. Hopefully, we'll get an interview from them, find out what they're all about, and what music we can expect from them in the near future. And that song was, I believe, Yanchik, and is performed by Anastasia Wojciuk on bandura and vocals. Up next is another YouTube soundtrack. I'm not sure who the performer is, or the group that is performing it is, but it is a traditional Ukrainian folk song, a march, Yiha Yiha Kozak Mistom, a Kozak marched into town, and it is a soundtrack from a video of the Ukrainian version of the Snowbirds, the fighter jets, and hopefully we'll be seeing some of that and pushing back the invaders and bring Crimea back into the Ukrainian fold where it belongs and where most of the people want it. Yichau, yichau, kozak misto.
Питом камінь трісну, соловей кохаю свисну, раз-два, соловей кохаю свисну, раз. Тис притисну, до серденька заркувала зозуденька, раз-два, заркувала зозуденька,
мені дівча спати раз. Щось її маю запитати, чи не била вчора мати на нас пас, чи не била вчора мати раз.
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello! Shashlik is a Caucasian dish which the Ukrainians adopted many centuries ago. It is a great favorite throughout Ukraine, and many Ukrainian restaurants specialize in this choice preparation. Traditionally, it is barbecued skewered meat, and it is served with many variations. While lamb is the most popular meat, a variety of meats is always very popular with Ukrainians. Shashlik is splendid for entertaining or for picnics. Pieces of vegetable can also accompany the meat on a skewer to make a deluxe version. Some cooks do not marinate the meat first, but season the meat just before skewering and brush with oil as the skewers are cooking. Whether cooking outside, which is great, or inside, long flat metal skewers are best. Wooden skewers, if soaked in water for an hour or so, are fine too. If you are broiling, place the skewers on a broiler rack close to the heat. Turn the skewers several times, basting with the oil until the meat is cooked to desired denseness. The skewers can be prepared ahead, covered, and kept until ready to cook. For a combination of meats, as Ukrainians prefer, you'll need the following. 1/2 cup of oil, 1/2 pound of lean salt pork or unsliced smoked bacon, 1/2 pound each of beef fillet, veal, pork, and lamb, some ground black pepper, sweet paprika, and salt to taste. Cut the meat into 2-inch cubes, thread on skewers, alternating the kinds of meat. Sprinkle with salt, pepper, and paprika. Brush and baste with oil. Grill, turning 2 or 3 times until desired doneness. Salt on serving. Garnish with green onions, lemon wedges, and tomatoes. Next week, I'll share a recipe for marinated lamb shashlik. Until then, try this one. You'll love it. It's Ukrainian.
Join us again next week for Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar.
Добрий день. This is Volodymyr Valkov from Lviv, Ukraine, and I would like to bring to you my opinion piece about the dangerous events that are currently affecting Ukraine, my home country. Russia is manipulating the population in Crimea and eastern parts of Ukraine. It is creating panic through its propaganda machine. There is no fascism in Ukraine. There are no neo-Nazis. There are no extremists who have supposedly seized control of the central government in Kyiv. There is no threat to Russian-speaking population or Russian citizens, except that which might, but of course hopefully not, be created by the Russian government itself. There are even protests by Russians in Moscow against the Russian intervention of Ukraine. Russia, but more correctly to say, Mr. Putin, drunk with power and ashamed at losing his game in Kyiv, is only thinking about his personal imperial ambitions of wanting to be a modern-day Tsar. This is it. He is not thinking about the people. Power, not people, is in Putin's mind. This conflict is the result of Putin's aggression. Just look at the way people live in Transnistria or Pridnestrovia, and the consequences of Russian so-called peacekeeping there. I have been there twice, and I'm still shocked at the way that place has been stuck in time, in the worst Soviet time. Putin's thinking is working only along KGB lines, and that leaves millions of people in Russia and other areas of the world voiceless, penniless, and defenseless. Ukraine's diversity is an asset. You can speak any language you want here. Ukrainians are proud to have Russians, Jews, Tatars, Armenians, and other nationalities as part of the modern Ukrainian statehood. But for Russia, diversity has always been a liability, a weakness to their population and mind control that is based on intimidation and economic deprivation. Democracy in Ukraine is another strategic threat to Russia because it is afraid of public dissent and bottom-up empowerment of its people. That is why Russia, namely Putin himself, is orchestrating provocations and his so-called peacekeeping mission to suppress the departure of Ukraine from Russia's authoritarian orbit. Putin's intervention is about power and control, not about people. Putin's control in Crimea and parts of Ukraine will only bring more destitution and poverty, as his track record convincingly shows. Ukraine is yet again trying to leave from Russia's corrupt influence, to build a democratic future for all of its citizens, regardless of language, origin, religion, ethnicity, or any other basis. Mr. Putin, on the other hand, is desperately trying to hold on to his imperial territorial ambitions, to show the world he is in control. That is why he can't give up his chase after Ukraine. Power-thirsty Putin wants to be able to handpick Ukrainian political leaders, and has been doing so in the past. He has prevented Ukraine's accession to NATO and hijacked Ukraine's association with the EU. He objects to Ukraine's membership in the EU and calls Ukraine an artificial state. He has applied sanctions and shut off gas supply to the brotherly Ukrainian nation. Corruption and intimidation are Putin's main allies wherever he operates. His geopolitical pride is such that he would rather see Ukraine become a corrupt desert than become a prosperous, democratic, and peaceful state whose future success could undermine his eternal rule. This is Volodymyr Valkov, specially for Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio.
This is Stefan Andrusiak from Rushnechok, and you're listening to Nash Holos with host Paulette McQuarrie. Дорогі слухачі від всіх наших членів оркестри Рушничок, великий привіт вам! Ви слухаєте радіопередачу «Наш голос».
Я називаюся Стефан Андрусяк. This is Stefan Andrusiak from Rushnichok. I live in a far-off land where life is easy, but these days my heart is in turmoil thinking about the land of my ancestors. I yearn to rejoice in your boundless geography, your hills, your rivers, your grasses, in all of nature's charms. But I witness trials sent down upon you by those who declare themselves to be your enemies, those who would want you to be left with no good fortune and without much of a future. But this I also know, and in it I do take solace. Your children who have suffered, imprisoned, forgotten for all those years, they maintained your dignity and your decency. These thoughts are from a song written 40 years ago. My bandmates Eugen Osidach and Yurko Shtik composed the music. The lyrics are by our friend Boris Budny. 40 years later, we know that Ukraine, now an independent state, remains determined to realize that future bathed in dignity and decency. But the road there is distant and long. From the iTunes version of Rushnechok Volume 2, Here is the song, My Homeland, Zemle Moya.
Слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері. We have Mirko Petriu on the line now. Mirko is president of the Vancouver branch of the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress. Following the events in Ukraine very closely, Mirko, welcome. Вітаю.
Yes, hello.
Give us an update on what's going on in Crimea right now. How do you see what's playing out?
Well, in Crimea, we're seeing a full-blown invasion. At last count, we've got somewhere close to 30,000 Russian troops. What is very interesting about that is they are in the very latest Russian military gear, uniforms, helmets, and so on, but all insignia and identifying patches have been removed or aren't on them at all. So I guess by international law that counts as some form of piracy because they're not identifiable troops. Anyways, they control all of Crimea. They have very recently laid a minefield actually across the Crimean border in the Ukrainian province of Khersonshchina. They're laying a minefield there, and I believe there's some international laws about minefields too. So they're in breach of all kinds of laws and agreements and treaties.
Yeah, but Mirko, if they're in breach of these laws, can anybody hold them accountable? I mean, they're a rogue state. They're as bad as North Korea.
Well, I recently read a very interesting statement regarding the Budapest Memorandum. The Budapest Memorandum was an agreement between the United States, the United Kingdom, Ukraine, and Russia that in exchange for Ukraine getting rid of its nuclear arsenal, which at that time was actually the third largest in the world,
right,
for getting rid of that arsenal, its territorial integrity and a few other things would be guaranteed. Well, we now see what that guarantee means. And in fact, the comment was that, yes, that memorandum is legally binding, but it's unenforceable.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't say if the U.S. doesn't do X, it loses Texas. You know, I mean, there's no penalty. Okay, there's no penalty. Yes, it's legally binding. There's no way to enforce it. And the same thing applies to what we're talking about here about, laying minefields in a neighboring country, actually, in this case here, or in Khersonshchina, which is just north of the border of Crimea.
Yeah, well, we see it as a neighboring country, but Putin doesn't.
Well, and I think actually in Putin's mind, he's after more than just Crimea. I think he wants to occupy all of Ukraine, or at least all of eastern Ukraine, including the capital, Kyiv. He probably would not be very interested in Helichina, although who knows. But it's he's not going to stop until somebody stops him. So he's going to see how far he can get. A few interesting things to note. If you listen to the English press journalists and what have you, they keep reminding us of the 1954 gift by Khrushchev of Crimea to Ukraine. At that time, Crimea was absolutely destroyed by the war. So it was a ruin and a desert. Okay. What it needed, and the reason that it had to be joined up to Ukraine is one, water, two, electricity. Even today, Crimea gets all of its electricity from Ukraine. So with the flip of the switch, Ukraine would knock Crimea back to, 19th century, right? The water is used for irrigation. As I mentioned, Crimea is a desert. So all of the agriculture there depends on water coming down a canal from the Dnipro River in Ukraine. So it is totally economically dependent on Ukraine. Another interesting statistic that I just found is the majority of the people in Crimea are pensioners. I mean, it may actually be financially beneficial to give that pension obligation to Putin. Crimea does not have much of an economy, other than tourism. And of course, tourism has just been destroyed. So, what's happening there is not even very good from an economical standpoint, everything else aside.
Those are trump cards, the electricity and the water, but.
Yes, I think the trade-off there, of course, Russia has a trump card in shutting off a gas supply to Ukraine, although that isn't as big a threat in the summertime as it would be in the
right.
winter.
But, Mirko, what strikes me here is that Putin has come in, he doesn't care about the people. Ukraine could do that, but they're not, because people depend on the electricity. If the people would be hurt.
Ukraine is still treating Crimea as one of its provinces, so it's not going to do anything to harm its citizens, and it's still acting that way. Like I said, it does have a few cards up its sleeve here, to say the least. Without Ukrainian water, without Ukrainian electricity, Crimea cannot support its current population.
So, does Putin care?
Putin is, no, Putin doesn't care, of course. I think he is motivated by restoration of empire. One thing we have to remember, and again, we don't hear that in the Anglophone press, Russia or the Russian Federation is not a nation state in any European sense of the word, like, you know, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, what have you. It is an empire. It's an empire for empire's sake. If we look at it historically, it is actually a continuation of the empire that Genghis Khan started back in the 13th century.
Hmm.
I mean, it went through umpteen permutations, including, you know, the USSR and then back to the Russian Federation. Prior to that, it was the Russian Empire, et cetera. You know, so there was a series of name changes. Actually, the name Muscovy or the Muscovian Tsardom was probably, you know, the longest lasting name for that empire. But it is in fact, after a series of regime changes, a continuation of that, which, you know, so it's not a third Rome by any means. And it does not deserve the name Russia, which is a derivative of Rus', which was the name of the country around Kiev. It was the name of Ukraine at one time.
Now, we're not talking about the rank and file Russian people who, you know, work farms
average Russian, I don't think he cares, but we're looking at the political elite, and the political elite is very much in control, and I'm just reminding you that it's more than one man, it's more than Putin. Of course, he's got his clone in Medvedev, but, you know, whether it's him or Medvedev or Zhirinovsky or any one of those characters, they're gonna pursue exactly the same line of politics here.
And these are basically they're mafia. We call them mafia, but
they're motivated by something a little bit more than dollars and cents. And I think it's probably a mistake on a part of the West thinking that oh my gosh, if we freeze their accounts, they're gonna come begging to us. I think they're motivated by there's this imperial ambition, much more than personal finances. I think they're all quite well off, the political elite. So they're really not too worried about the personal finances. I think they're after the glory of rebuilding an empire.
That just put a chill.
And that's harder to fight.
Yeah, and that just put a chill down my spine. It is harder to fight. Do you think? Is it? I mean, what can be done?
The question is, what can be done? I mean, all kinds of things can be done. I mean, right now, it would be very interesting if, for example, the U.S. ships, and the U.S. does have a couple of military ships in the Black Sea and a whole lot close by, if they were to hold a joint military exercise with the Ukrainian military, which right now is you know, basically trapped in various ports in Crimea. There's an inlet called Donuslau that's been blocked by the Russians when they sunk a couple of their own ships, their own older ships. They sunk them to block the entrance to the inlet.
Hmm.
So, there's strange things happening there.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess all we can do right now is keep an eye on things and report what's happening and try to keep ahead of the Russian propaganda, which unfortunately seems to be making a bit of a foothold in the West.
Exactly. One of the other things that really worries me is there's almost a plan of a genocide of the Crimean Tatars.
Oh, no, not again.
They have been very much pro-Ukrainian.
Right.
And, you know, they had suffered terribly at the hands of the Russians, and they certainly don't want to see Russian control over Crimea. But just recently, there's been the arrival of some paramilitaries from Serbia.
Yeah.
And these are the characters that participated in the genocide in Kosovo that some of us recall quite recently. Very much anti-Muslim. And, of course, the Crimean Tatars are Muslim. So mm-hmm. There's going to be a bit of an anti-Muslim pogrom, if you wish, or ethnic cleansing, or even a genocide.
Lovely.
That would happen once Russia takes formal control over Crimea.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. Somehow there's a miracle.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Mirko. I know you've got things to do, and this is being recorded Sunday morning, and you're off to the Shevchenko concert. So thanks so much, Mirko.
Thank you very much.
Цей твій сон не скінчиться ніколи, ти будеш одна. Твій портрет завбільшки з долоню розтане між хмар. Між дивних людей. О, Найті Україн. Чи весело між весняних дощів, погляд твій і розплетені коси розтануть як дим між дивних людей. Чуєш тривогу і навіть любов до дивних людей.
Song from the Maidan era, the Orange Revolution, 2004, was made very popular by Viktor Morozov, "Oh My Dear Ukraine." And as mentioned, I had the great honor and privilege to speak with a Crimean Tatar earlier today. Smail Tantana is a Crimean Tatar living near Simferopol, the capital of Crimea. He joins us by Skype. Welcome, Smail.
Hi there. Hi, Balet. How are you?
I'm well, and how are you?
Thanks God, everything's all right. I mean, hopefully it's going to be all right.
We hope so, too. You know, there's a lot of unrest there. And just before we came on, you were telling me a little bit about the history of Crimea and the name of your town or your capital city, Simferopol, origins.
The town that I live in right now is called Simferopol. But the historical name, like a real name we can say, is Akhmezjit. During the first occupation of Crimea by Russians, we can say, in 1773. And after that, they changed all the names of the cities and villages in Crimea, almost of them. But sometimes still we have like Bakhchisarai and other places, still they have the real original name.
Yes, I was in Bakhchisarai, and I noticed so many of you speak Ukrainian.
Yeah, we can speak, for example, I'm Crimean Tatar, and I can speak Ukrainian, I can speak Russian, I can speak Crimean Tatar, I can speak Turkish and English, like five languages, and it's okay with us. I mean, not like the people who say on TV that they like... they cannot speak Russian or other languages. I mean, it's all right here to speak any language you want. And
hopefully it will stay that way, that you'll be able to speak whatever language you want.
Yeah, but right now, for example, if you speak Ukrainian in the downtown, you probably will be beaten or even kidnapped and unfortunately killed.
Really?
Because someone it's like two or three persons are kidnapped here already. And if you just come out right now and go to the city with the Ukrainian flag, they will call you as a fascist or Banderovitz and they try to beat you. Always there is a lot of, like, our local TV showed us that a lot of people that come out, they were beaten, and they telling us to not come out from this, to not go out from the houses and just keep waiting at home.
Oh, dear. Now, yeah. You have actually sent, yesterday you sent a link of a TV stream where we could watch online.
Yeah.
But they're under attack, though. I went and I saw, when I tuned into it, I saw just an old movie, which is an old Soviet technique.
Yeah. Because of the time differences, I sent you a link, internet link, and it was nighttime here. That's why you saw the movie. The thing I will tell about little situation here. Right now, the pro-Putin people, they, not all Russians that live in Crimea, they don't want Russia to come here. They don't want Putin to come here. That's why the Putin understand that, and what he does, he stops all the Crimea channels. All Ukrainian channels, they don't work in Crimea right now. And what he did, all pro-Putin people, they right now, if you turn on your TV, you're going to see just Russian channels. And all Russian channels is like telling that Ukrainian, they're killers, they're fascists, and they're going to kill us. Everyone like who speak Russia, they will kill us. They were making propaganda like, bad propaganda to people, to make Russian people who lived in Crimea and who doesn't accept Putin regime, they wanted to make them think like Putin people do. And the only channels that is a true channel here that works in Crimea right now, this is ATR, like ATR. He showed like real situations in Crimea.
Is Putin succeeding in changing the minds and turning your Russian friends against you?
Sometimes there is a couple of my friends change their mind. Even if you try to speak with them and I'm trying to explain them about the situation, they don't want to talk to you. They just say, just Russia will help us. Russia is everything. A lot of, not only me, but my friends and my relatives also have the same problem here. This is like in disinformational attacking us, like trying to make people that we actually, I think the main aim here of this attack is to make a war between the ethnic groups, between Crimean Tatars and Russians, between Ukrainians, and like, but we still keep calm here and trying to not make any conflicts here.
That's something that it really strikes a lot of us in the West, is you're in the amazing restraint of the Ukrainians and pro-Ukrainians like yourself. How do you do that? How do you keep your emotions so under control and not allow yourself to be provoked?
Actually, it's really hard to keep yourself because of, that the country that killed your grandparents, that they used like Stalin regime, they killed almost half of my ethnic, like Crimean Tatars, and I know this country don't like us Crimean Tatars, and when they in a couple meters from my houses, driving in cars and waving their like Russian flags and screaming like "All you gonna be die." And someone is like, for example, there was a situation when in Bakhchisarai, the Crimean Tatars, their houses were signed, like, you know, they have a sign, special sign on their houses, like, "These people lives here," to make, they do everything to make conflict, you know, they screaming something like, I mean, you want to show, you want to fight against them, but we have people here that we trust. It's, for example, in Crimean Tatar, we have own like government here, Crimean Tatars. Mm-hmm. It's called Mejlis. And the head of this Mejlis is Refat Chubarov. And right now, what he says, he's our leader. And what he's saying, we just do it. I mean, right now he says that we need to be calm. We don't need to make any conflicts. And we need to be patient right now.
How are your communications? You know, you mentioned that the TV stations are all taken over by Russia. Do you have any problems with keeping in touch by phone, by internet?
Actually, no, internet, for example, sometimes in the morning I try to use my Facebook and to watch out about the news, but sometimes I couldn't use it. So I had to use anonymizer to just open Facebook, and they're still trying to attack everyone here who is like making the truth come out. I think they will do everything to do so. I hope that it won't be like this, but you know, everybody tells and there is a, like, kind of information comes that, in close future they will cut down the electricity so people will not use, internet and other kind of stuff. Oh. Yeah.
How are you making out right now? Are you preparing for this?
Actually, no. Usually people move to other places, but for example, me, like Crimean Tatar, my parents, we don't have any other place to go because our motherland is Crimea. And we have no place to go, and Crimea is not a really big place. For example, our Ukrainian neighbors, they moved to Ukraine, like other places, but what we can do, just sit at home and wait for the future, for tomorrow comes, like until they come, and let's see. I mean, we don't know.
Is there anything we can do besides just share your story?
You can help us with sharing the information about the Crimean situation, sharing the truth that comes from from Crimea. For example, what I can say right now is this is the truth that in Crimea right now already almost 35,000 soldier troops and a lot of vehicles, Russian vehicles, like all trucks, tanks, and other stuff. For example, in the north of Crimea, the place where Crimea Peninsula bounded to Ukraine, the Russian troops, they landmined all the area.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
One road left. And this road is closed. If you not come, you have you might have a big troubles. And people with the guns in the city and you not even can go out and go to market. It's, you know, I mean, it's scaring.
Yeah. And so there's no way out of Crimea for people to flee.
Yeah, you know, for example, every day that comes here, like bad news, and everyone here in the morning when they wake up, they're trying to find out like good news. And you know, the good news here is like what the Europe says, what Canada says, what the United States says, what the NATO says about the situation in Crimea, because we see our, we can see the only like real help from the Europe, from the NATO, from the Canada and USA.
Well, many people here certainly support you, and we're watching very, very closely and sending lots of prayers and good thoughts your way and keeping our fingers crossed that somehow there will be a miracle and this will be resolved and you can get your freedom and peace back and get a chance at building a good future for yourself and your children.
You know, it's hard to understand that a lot of Russian troops here in Crimea, and we, like people, we don't have any weapons, we don't have any kinds to fight against them. But what we have a clean heart and we have a truth. That's the strongest weapon that we have, the strongest weapons that will help us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Smail.
You're so welcome. We really appreciate it that you help us.
And stay safe.
Thank you.
Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community.
On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to north and central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, northwest Washington State, and greater Vancouver. In our new two-hour time slot, 11:30 a.m. till 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time, Wednesdays on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial and streaming online at chly.ca. You can get the links to the podcast for both the Nanaimo and this Vancouver edition at www.nashholos.com. Contact TV airs on multicultural channel Omni 1 and on Channel 8 on Shaw Cable Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. with a repeat broadcast the following Monday at noon. If you have announcements or story ideas you'd like aired on Contact, please email them at studio@contact.ca. That's studio@kontakt.ca. And at 5 p.m. Sunday evening, slip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver and join me for another hour of fun here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, you'll find upcoming events, program information, audio archives, podcast feeds, and much more at www.nashholos.com. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час домовий сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Злей і фальшливий ніколи не був милостивий. And our proverb of the week is, expect no mercy from the wicked and the false. Well, that just about wraps up another program here on Nash Holos. To take us to the end of our show, we've got a good old down-home sounds of Tommy Buick and the Podolia Polka. This is Pavlina on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320. Thanks so much for listening, and Dobranich!